All right, our next trait, we're to verse 4, 2 Timothy chapter 3. You get a lot of bad, evil people in one spot, it makes for trouble sometimes. There are places you can go in the world, in certain cities, certain communities, where there's a lot of wicked people. Thankfully, there are places you can go when it's not as many wicked people. We traditionally think of big cities or even moderate cities. The more people, the more wickedness. That's a pretty certain thing, that you would find more wickedness where there were more people. But in the end, we're warned that difficult times will come because of these kinds of people. Verse 4, the very first one, there will be this kind of people. Treacherous. Let's pray once again. Lord, maybe the hardest one to get to take now. Treacherous. Treachery. Betrayal. What an awful thing to experience. What an awful thing to do. And yet, Lord, the ones who do it are not generally the ones who are the most affected by it. They're not the ones that suddenly are taken off their firm foundation by it, but the ones that are causing others to be shaken. We know that as the days come when the Antichrist rises, that many people who say they love you and love us will be gone to save themselves, who they really love. So I pray, Lord, we would take the examples that have been given to us in Scripture of the devil's betrayal, of Judas's betrayal, and the betrayal of many we've seen in our own lives, that we would never want to be that, but be loyal and faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Fragile items you get in the mail sometimes are wrapped up. If you get one, when you open the box, you're going to have to go through quite a few things before you get to what's been sent in the box. You're going to go through multiple layers of packaging. I was very interested in the weather, predicting weather, seeing what weather was going to come when I was a kid. And I think I told you before, I got a little weather poodle, not a real poodle, but you know. It was a glass kind of jewelry type of thing, but not jewelry, but it was, you know, that kind of thing. And it changed colors. And when it was going to rain, it would turn green or something. When it was going to snow, it would turn blue. I love that. I mean, this is great. A poodle. Put it in my room. It came in all kinds of, you know, packing. Even back then, you know, you got to wrap it up. So you get it out and you put it up. And it was great. I got my own weather poodle. Well, I was checking it, you know, as I did, because I wanted it to snow. I always wanted it to snow. It was possible up there as opposed to some other places. And one night I picked it up, looked at it. I probably had a flashlight, looked at it, see if it was turning pink. Put it back and didn't put it back right. It fell right off of the chest and broke. So you see, it was safe until it got in my hands. It was safe in the packaging because it was a fragile item. It would still work. I think I glued it back together. But it was at its safest when it was, you know, today you have to go through styrofoam noodles. And those air-filled things. And then you've got the wrapping on the very inside around the item itself. And that way you get the item in one piece. And you'd never send out precious cargo that was not properly wrapped. Unless you were Target, of course. We get that all the time from them. There's something very fragile inside of us. Priceless. Very, very breakable. And if something that we get in the shipping breaks, we get it replaced. I worked in receiving. I was a receiving clerk in Minnesota for several years. I got stuff off the truck sent to us, medical supply company. Sometimes it'd be broken. You set it aside, and they'd come out and check it, and we'd get a replacement. The shipper would have to pay for it, or people that packed it, whatever, from the company. But if this thing inside of us gets broken, it must be mended. It can't be replaced. And a lot of people, when this thing inside of us gets broken, they never get it mended. It stays broken. It doesn't have to, it just does. But if it's broken, your life as it should be grinds to a halt. If you got on an airplane, looked out and saw one of the engines was just hanging on the wing by one wire, and you mentioned it to the stewardess, and she said, well, we got the other one over there. We'll just get that one fixed when we get where we're going. We'll just take off of that engine flapping in the breeze. Nobody does that. Neither is this thing inside of us able to be properly used, to do it to be properly lived, unless it's repaired. And the thing about this part in us is that although it is very fragile, it can be strengthened and not be fragile anymore. You can actually take this thing in us that is very fragile and make it strong so that it doesn't break. You have to keep that up. It needs to be constantly kept that way, or it'll get back to its very fragile state. We know in shipping, there are people whose aim in life is to break whatever is in the box that they're having to handle and load on the truck. I didn't work in shipping. That was on the other side of the building. I worked in receiving. But, you know, like the airport luggage handlers, their number one aim often is to break whatever's inside. So they whip it around. Many people with this part in us, they get it hit on so many times in so many ways by people in this world on purpose. If you want to break this, you could start by spending a whole lot of time on Facebook or Twitter. That'll break it. Or watch the news constantly. You need to take care of this. It's like we have clothes that we call our good clothes. We don't wear the good clothes out to cut wood or stuff. We save those. We keep those for another better purpose. Well, this thing in us has to be kept that way. We have to be mindful that it is very fragile, and if it's broken, we're broken down. If it's not maintained, it gets broken very easily. Solomon spoke about this part. He said if it was broken, you couldn't bear it. No one can bear it. It's not like you can, it can be broken and then you go on like nothing happens. You can't bear it, he says in Proverbs. And when it doesn't work, we are wide open to being overwhelmed by the world around us. When this part broke in Job mentioned it had broken. Job said he was ready for the grave because this part broke. There's a song that was written, sung in, I think, the 70s. American Pie. Bye, bye, Mr. American Pie. You've heard that, maybe? It was about the day the music died, and he said, this will be the day that I die. That was his experience with it. It was about the big bopper, Ritchie Valens and Buddy Holly, in a plane crash in the 1950s. If it breaks inside of you, you are dead. You are headed for the grave in your estimation. Sadness and wailing are associated with the breaking of it. Not just crying, wailing when this thing breaks. We're given a lot of instructions in the Bible about taking care of this thing. And this is what we have here in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Remember verse 1? But realize this. And then he goes on with what we're to expect. Realize this. There's to be an awareness so that we can guard against this thing being broken. We're not to be so unaware of the last days that it sneaks up on us like a thief. We're to be mindful. We go to someone's house late at night. We want them to know we're coming, or we might be mistaken for someone who shouldn't be there. We need to know what's coming, because this fragile part is called the human spirit, the spirit, our spirit. And it can be broken when it needs to be strong. When our spirit is broken, we are broken. Now, the little big thing. You think of the spirit in us, it's invisible. These crazy surgeons sometimes are unbelievers. They want to justify their unbelief. They say they did surgery. They looked inside a person, and they didn't see the soul. What a shock that was. You don't see this. This is the spirit in us is in us, and the body without the spirit is dead. That's how we die. We're body, soul, and spirit. Soul and spirit are the same thing. We got a material part of us and an immaterial part of us. And the spirit, the soul, and spirit are the immaterial part of us. That is in us, and you will never find it by looking. And when we speak of spiritual problems, we're talking about the human spirit. Because the world talks about the outside, we need to have this policy and do this thing and make life better. But a spiritual problem is with the human spirit not being right. It's broken, or it's on the wrong side of God. And so you got a spiritual problem. The thing that drives your life is a problem. And that is, of course, redeemed by salvation in Christ. It's a synonym also for the heart. Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. Same body. You got one body And if you are, if your spirit is joyful, your body's just fine. If your spirit is broken, you are like a dried up bone. You know what a dried up bone is? When does a bone dry up? You're dead. Dusty, dry bones. So, we're told to watch our hearts with all diligence in Proverbs, for from it flow the springs of life. You watch your kids with all diligence when they're born. They'll stick their fingers in the wall sockets. They'll wander outside and go across the street and not look both ways when they do so. They'll eat, anything they get. They'll see some comet in the cabinet and they'll chug that down. My brother and sister ate a bottle of baby bear aspirin one time. You got to watch your spirit, because your spirit is what is being addressed here when we're told to realize this, that difficult days will come. To have our spirits not get broken. Some people have a very tender spirit. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But if you have a naturally tender spirit, you're more inclined to tenderness than the other. You have to especially watch that, because you're more easily broken. You're more sensitive. Our spirit can be broken in a good way. David said in Psalm 51, after he had repented, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." You know, this morning we saw Asa. Asa did not have a broken spirit when he was told he had done wrong. He did not evidence a broken and contrite heart. But that's a good thing to have when you bend the knee of the Lord's estimation of us. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. He wants the sacrifice to be of brokenness rather than proud. Most of the time, it seems that people these days are not protecting their spirit at all. They're too easily offended. They lay it out there. First little thing comes up, they're offended. A book in Target, of course, Target. A book in Target was about how wrong it is to tell kids that they might be a different gender, transgender stuff. One person, I'm told in the article that I read, one person on Twitter complained about calling it crazy to think that there's another choice of gender than the one you were born with. Can you imagine? So the book got pulled off the shelf. It's gone. One person. People just wait to... What I want to see one time is for people to say, you know, if you don't want the book, don't buy the book. You don't want to shop here, shop somewhere else, but shut up. But that's, you know, one person's out there. You get easily offended. Our society has become where you have to cancel everything that might offend somebody else. That's telling other people to watch your spirit rather than for you to watch your spirit. We're told, you know, guard your spirit, guard your heart. Realize this. And the world now says, oh, we can't have these people doing these things because it's going to wound my spirit. Well, your spirit's supposed to be toughened up for that. Everyone's got to stop what they're doing. Their spirit doesn't get better when it gets protected that way. They get tossed about more. It's like putting a piece of paper out on the table out in the yard and just hoping the wind doesn't blow it away. If you live in this world, you're going to get blown all around. You're going to be pushed, kicked, stabbed. And if you are not firmly implanted on what you should be implanted on, you're going to get knocked all around. That's part of the church's function, part of my function as your pastor, is to, you know, teach you truth and have you not be tossed about by every wind of doctrine and every trickery of man. We have to be solid or you get thrown all around. And by not watching this little big thing, the spirit, the evil flows from us. We're to watch, we're to stand firm, we're to stay faithful. That's our job, because this little thing is a big thing, the spirit in us. And so the trait today is treachery. Now this is the big hurt. To this point, if you look at the list, there's a lot of selfish, a lot of wickedness there. And there's side effects, collateral damage from it. But up till now, probably malicious gossips would be the thing that you would consider that would hurt you the most. A malicious gossip will spread lies and slander you to others, also known as the media. And they will not care about the truth. They will shame and disgrace you. And that'll hurt. But this, I believe, is a level beyond that. When someone betrays you, we have the term that someone stabs us in the back. That is a saying that we use about betrayal. Because when you trust someone, you turn your back. You don't turn your back to people in prison. They stick their chair up against a wall and stack it back there where you can't stab them in the back. But when you trust someone, you're not afraid to turn your back to them because you trust them. Betrayal then is that person that stabs you in the back. A traitor. A turncoat. A deserter. We all have heard probably of Benedict Arnold even today. Benedict Arnold was an officer in the colonial army. He was on the American side at first. He got slighted, I believe, in some things he was expected to be given. He switched on over to the other side. So now we don't say traitor, just we say he's a Benedict Arnold. He turned against the cause. A treacherous person promises and vows and assures, but then betrays. It's the sin of Judas. Judas stabbed Jesus in the back. Of course, Jesus knew it was coming. Judas, one of the disciples, betrayed the Lord. After being with him, he saw all those miracles. He saw all of those things. Heard all his words. What do we think about Judas now? He was a money keeper, good with money. He extorted that. We think of Judas Iscariot as a traitor. He'll never be anything other in our minds. There are degrees of treachery, but in the last days, we'll find the absolute worst kind. Broken promises from the world make us mad. Somebody says they'll give us a warranty on something that they don't follow through. That makes us mad. That's like those Nerf darts. You know, they bounce off of you. They're not going to knock you down. Jesus taught that our enemies would be those of our own household. Matthew 10, verse 21. Brother will betray brother to death. A father his child. A children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You'll be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. Children turning parents in. Parents turning children in. That's hardest betrayal. Broken promises of the most intimate kind. If Joe Biden is against us, you know, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to go right on down and live. But if your own children betray you, your spouse, your best friend, that's going to hit you hard, much harder. And so this treachery hits close to home. And the point of that is, it's like a missile hitting exactly where it was fired. If Joe Biden shoots at me, his missile is going to land on the other side of the Edisto River, as far as I'm concerned. When your loved ones betray you, you got hit right between the eyes. And if you're not strong, your life will be over. Your spirit will be broken. And in the end, that will be prevalent. There's not a faithful church member who has not experienced treachery from somebody. Somebody that you have valued as a believer in Christ, a brother or sister in Christ, somebody, I'd be surprised if there was any church member of any length of time who's not been betrayed. Vows are made, made to this church. We got church covenant back there, people sign when the church was formed. Vows are made to be faithful to the church, and poof, they're gone. Some of those vows last, you know, about as long as it took for them to sign their name. Church members typically will join a church and then withdraw and expect people to come see how they're doing, serve them. The first thing I got when I came here, and I know it's been 31 years now, but one of the first things I was facing when I came here is there were people out there sitting around pouting, wondering why people hadn't called them, see how they're doing. They went out and wallowed in the yard. They wallowed around the yard. They got all dirty, and they laid there and wondered, why is the church not called to find out why I'm so dirty? It was amazing. Church members can be gossips and slanderers, and a lot of people, once they get involved with what a church can be that is treacherous, many will quit the church when they're not supposed to. And then they'll blame it on the church. Why am I not coming to church? Well, there's so many hypocrites in the church. So many hypocrites in the church. But I'd like to enter politics, I think. Yeah, there are no hypocrites there. There's not a pastor who's pastored more than 5 minutes who's not been betrayed in some way. I say 5 minutes, it may be 10. Doc used to say, the Lord has a way of testing pastors early, whether they really want to be a pastor or not. I can testify, it doesn't take long. It hurts when a husband and a wife, they make vows to each other, they have kids, they love each other, and then they fall apart. Hurts many, many people on many levels. And a lot of people can't take it. It's that hard of a hit. So when the Bible says we've got to watch our spirit, it means that it's fragile. And the end, and we, you know, as far as we know, could be there. It keeps cycling around until it's the end. We have got to be strong in spirit. It'll break. And you don't want it to break because it needs to be fixed, but if your spirit is broken, you don't even want to fix it. How to be faithful? How do we ourselves be faithful and stand up to treachery? I mean, one of the worst hurts. Well, I mentioned some there on your outline. Brace yourself and dig in. Do not live on your feelings. Feelings are nice things after the facts. If you put feelings first and then decide what you're going to do, you might as well take a long walk off a short pier. Do not be knocked around by feelings. You have got to, when feelings come that hurt you, you've got to anchor yourself back in what is unchanging and brace yourself from all that from the outside that would knock you off and make your feelings hurt. Secondly, establish and maintain a firm relationship with the Lord. The fact that the Lord is faithful to us means that we can stand against all treachery. That starts with getting saved and being the fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. God is faithful. And so if God is for us, who can be against us? Thirdly, be stubborn. There's a certain stubbornness that is unsavory. But if you're going to be a Christian in these times, you've got to be stubborn. There are too few stubborn people. There are too few stubborn preachers. We've got to stand true, stay firm, stay on the same Bible we always have, stay on the same doctrine. It's not changed. And don't get trendy and progressive and try to fit in with the times. Hey, we live in modern times. We can do that. Truth is eternal. Fourth, assemble together and love one another and serve one another. That's putting yourself out there. If you're betrayed, that hurts. But you've got more people and you're assembled and you're strengthened by the numbers. Fifth, keep your promises. Do you know how many people would be here this morning if they had kept their promise? I'm not saying God doesn't lead some people away, but some people left because they broke their promise. They said they would be faithful. Somebody made them mad, they left. Something didn't go exactly right, they're gone. Where was the promise? Well, it was nullified. By what? Well, not really by the facts. Luke 16, Jesus taught, he was faithful in a very little thing, is faithful also in much. He was unrighteous in a very little thing, is unrighteous also in much. So I would say, finally, be faithful in little things. Just don't speak ill of little things. If you're faithful in a little thing, you're faithful in a big thing, you're being faithful. All God wants is that we be faithful. If we get ability to do more in our faithfulness, fine. The Saturn we had, that we don't have now, but the car we had, the Saturn. I related to you once, I think, that I was having lunch when I worked up in Columbia a couple of days a week, having lunch up at the Dutch Square parking lot. Sitting in Dutch Square parking lot, I thought probably eating a Wendy's burger or something. So I'm just sitting there minding my own business. I hear this clattering. I look over before it's too late to do anything about it. And there's a cart, you know, grocery cart, barreling down on me. Hit the Saturn right in the side. Now, these are two-wheeled vehicles. They have that in common. Four wheels on the cart, four wheels on the Saturn. And still, in my estimation, the cart betrayed its kind. Smashed into the Saturn. You know what the Saturn did? It bounced it right off. I turned the key, and we went on back to work. Didn't stop it a bit. Kept right on. Don't be treacherous. But when someone is treacherous toward us, make sure it bounces off. That's why we're told these things. To make sure it bounces off and we're not taken down by it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you did not betray us. You have not betrayed us and will not. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and he who comes to me I will not cast out. I will not betray. Lord, in a world of betrayal, where people look out for their own selves when times get hot, may we be faithful and may we stand against the withering blast when those, even the closest to us, betray us, that we might be faithful to you, even in difficult times. In Jesus' name, amen.